Blog Talk Radio.
There in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Well, I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You're listening to Black by Color only. How you fine folks doing out there today? Let's try this again. How you folks doing out there today? Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. 84, and you can call in and talk about anything that's related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. No ad hominem attacks, no character assassinations, no excessive profanity, no trolling. If you feel like you want to indulge in these type of activities, then you best leave this show now, or I will be happy to oblige you. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Be respectful in your interactions on this program, okay? So, well, you all, we're coming up on this Easter season, you know, they say we're in the days of Lent. I don't celebrate that type of thing, you know, people talk about being in the days of Lent, and these are the days that are supposed to lead up to Easter. And, you know, it's the 40 days that's supposed to lead up to Easter. In some churches, they make it like during these 40 days that lead up to Easter, you have to give up on something because it represents the fast that Jesus undertook during his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. You know, but I don't remember after those 40 days and 40 nights him being crucified. But, you know, that's how, you know, because I used to be a Roman Catholic, and we used to get involved in that type of stuff. And it used to pluck my nerve because almost every Friday, we'd have to eat fish. And I was like, man, I'm tired of fish, you know. And but even during the Lent season, even if we weren't in the Lent season, we'd still eat fish on Friday, you know, and I got sick of it. And that's probably why I'm not much of a fish eater today, because I don't know, it may have affected me psychologically or anything. But next weekend, I'm having me a four-day weekend and taking some time to get me a little bit of rest and everything. We'll probably still have this show next Saturday, though, okay? Not saying that I'm taking a break off from this show, but I'll probably more than likely still have this show on Saturday. You know, so just want to remind everybody of this, let people know. But there was something, you know, sometimes when you think you've got a certain subject for a show or program or whatever, and you think that's the way you're going to go, but something comes up and it just throws everything out of whack and whatever. A friend of mine on Facebook, and I don't know why I didn't put this in my show description, but a friend of mine on Facebook, they sent me something, and see, folks, this is what I'm talking about, the ridiculousness in this world when it comes to race. You know, we get so caught up in the white man and what the white man is doing and what he isn't doing and, you know, things like that. But and we get so caught up in the white man that we just get off into total stupidity, you know. And I had to ask a friend of mine, because he sent me this article, and I'm sitting here like, now you all, this is the thing I'm talking about here, you know, when people do stupid mess like this, you know, we so caught up in whiteness and white privilege and everything that we want to purge ourselves from white folks as if that's going to make, you know, things better for we black folks, for us black folks here. And we get so caught up in the race game that we don't even see when we're doing something stupid. Trying to get my chat page up here. But someone sent me this. And folks, this is the type of stuff. This is the type of stuff that I talk about all the time. And, you know, I laugh, but really something like this really is not, it's really not that funny. But you laugh because it's like, man, you just got to shake your head at the whole ridiculousness of everything. You know, and I'm trying to get it up here, trying to get this article up here. And, that's kind of why I led off with the, you know, the Lent, you know, the season of Lent and whatever. And let me see if I can, I hope I didn't lose the article, because someone sent me, they sent me that article. Okay, well, let me just go here then. There's a church in Chicago, Illinois, and they're doing a special event for Lent. Like I said, the season of Lent is supposed to commemorate the 40 days that Jesus was out in the wilderness and he fasted and he was tempted of the devil. The devil tried to get him to kill himself, trying to get him to worship him and everything, and Jesus told him, it is written. And like I said, certain denominations, they take the season of Lent and they try to say, okay, well, during the 40 days of Lent, you know, you got to give up something. You know, like when I was a Catholic, you know, I had to give up, you know, I had to find something to give up, you know, seconds for dinner or dessert or something like that, you know, during the season of Lent, you know. And to be honest with you, it's ridiculous. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to knock anyone's religion or anything out there, but I really do think that that is ridiculous. You know, you got to give up something during the 40-day, you know. But this church here in Chicago, man, I tell you. When the person sent it to me, I said, please tell me this is satire. Please tell me this is from The Onion or from the Babylon Bee or something. Please, this is not what is going on. And he assured me, and assure is a big word here. He assured me that this was real. And it says here, I'm going to still try to pull the article up. I'm kind of away from my other computer. But he assured me that this is true. He said Chicago Church is fasting from whiteness for Lent. Let me read that again. Chicago Church is fasting from whiteness for Lent. The church will not be using any music or liturgy written or composed by white people in its promotion of the spiritual holiday. Yes, people, you heard that right. Whiteness is such a disease today that during the season of Lent, we got to fast ourselves from whiteness. We got to purge ourselves from the whiteness that surrounds us, that permeates our society. And folks, I think I'm get the article, because the original, let me get this. Okay, here we go. Now, folks, I am not kidding you. This is an actual church in Chicago that says they are going to fast from whiteness. Oak Park, Illinois, which is around Chicago, a suburban church has declared that it is fasting from whiteness for Lent. For Lent this year, First United is doing a mix of giving something up and taking something on, First United Oak Park in Oak Park stated on its website. The church said that includes dropping music or liturgy written or composed by white people. Our music will be drawn from the African-American spirituals tradition, from South African freedom songs, from Native American traditions, and many, many more, it said. Now, you all know a lot of those African spirituals really aren't really gospel music. You know, a lot of them, they were songs that were sung, and they were coded, telling slaves where they could run off to, you know, like wade in the water, you know, things like that, swing low, swing chariot. Those were really, they called them, today we call them gospel songs, but they were really old Negro spirituals that were coded, you know. But I don't know when my computer doesn't want to. Okay. It says the church put up a sign on the property announcing the fast, stating that its worship services will be built around the voices of black people, indigenous people, and people of color. For Lent, it is our prayer that in our spiritual disciplines, we may grow as Christians. Y'all got to be kidding me. For Lent, it is our prayer that in our spiritual disciplines, we may grow as Christians, united in the body of Christ with people of all ages, nations, races, and origins, the church stated on its site. Lent is a 40-day Christian season of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving that began on Ash Wednesday, March 2nd, and generally ends at sundown on Holy Thursday, which falls on April 14th this year. Now, the funny part of this is the part where they say, for Lent, it is our prayer that our spiritual discipline, that in our spiritual disciplines, we may grow as Christians, united in the body of Christ, with people of all ages, nations, races, and origins, the church stated on its site. So why are you fasting yourself from whiteness then? Why do you feel the need to fast? That, folks, that is not unity. Think about it. Would Jesus come up and say, you know what, hey, disciples, you know what, you know, we need a day where we need to purge ourselves from, you know, the Samaritans and all the other people around us who ain't like us. Do you think Jesus would have said, you know, we need a time to to fast from the whiteness? Do you think Jesus would have said that? But yet and still, these churches consider themselves to be Christian. When I saw that, I said, oh my goodness. This is some crazy mess. Hey, sis, how you doing? Can you give me a rate of 1 to 10 on the stupidity of fasting from whiteness? I mean, I saw this. I said, oh, my goodness. You think people in the world have reached their peak of stupidity, and you find out that they just overshoot that peak to reach another peak. Fasting itself from whiteness. And they say it's their prayer that in our spiritual disciplines, we may grow as Christians, united in the body of Christ. How in the world are you going to be united and you fasting yourself from whiteness? You going to keep white people from coming into your service too? Yeah, we got to fast ourselves from white folks. So white folks, you know, any other day, you know, any other time of the year, you're welcome to come here. But, you know, during this season of Lent, we're fasting ourselves from whiteness. So we got to ship you go. We got to ship you guys on out. Y'all got to find another place to worship in. We're not going to listen to the old white music, you know, the white hymns and those that were composed by white folks, you know, because we got to, you know, we got to fast ourselves from the whiteness. Folks, if you don't see the stupidity that is inerrant in these actions, something is wrong with you. And like I said, when I first saw it, because, you know, a lot of things come up on Facebook and whatever, you got to be careful sometimes, because sometimes someone will put something up, you'll think it's real, but it's really satire. So I asked the guy who posted it, I said, wait a minute, nah, you got to be kidding. This got to be from The Onion or the Babylon Bee or something like that. He said, no. And he gave me the actual article, and I just read it. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And see, this is the world we live in today. If you're white, you're evil. If you're black, you're not evil. Oh, y'all, oh, sis gave it 100%. I said 1 to 10. She said 100. I don't know, sis. That might be a little low for you. I'm telling you. Oh, man. I said, my goodness, are people really this stupid? And see, when you get caught up in race, when you get caught up in this racial, you know, this critical race theory and everything, it leads you to do and say stupid things like that. These folks had the nerve to call themselves Christians. And like I mentioned before, do you think Jesus would have been like, yeah, we got to fast ourselves from all the other races. Just concentrate on us. See, this is why I tell people I'm a free-thinking black man. I like to march to the beat of my own drummer. I don't like, you know, I just don't like following the status quo. I don't like being part of the collective, because I like to think for myself. But, you know, a lot of black people, they'll read that article and be like, yeah. And you never know. It might catch on in some other churches. Hey, y'all see this church in Chicago? They're fasting from whiteness. Hey, maybe we should try that. Well, if you're going to fast yourself from the whiteness, you probably shouldn't go to work. Because you work with white people there. Probably shouldn't go to the grocery store because you're going to interact with white people. You shouldn't even speak to a white person because, you know, I mean, because I don't know if any of you all realize this, but white people are everywhere. They're everywhere. So, I mean, they're 65% of this country. So you might have to go to a deserted island. Or I don't know how in the world they come up with this stuff. And it's things like this that make me want to bang my head on the tree whose bark I chewed off. This is some silly mess. But other than that, that's not how I wanted to start the show today. But I just thought I'd mention that to you all. And let me see if I can get the. I should have had this up in my show's description. But I'm going to share it with you all in the chat room, and you can check it out for yourself. So there's the article. You can check it out for yourself. And And before you check the article out, I would advise you to go to your nearest pharmacy, like CVS or Walgreens or whatever, and pick you up a copious amount of ibuprofen or whatever painkiller you like to use, because I'm telling you, this will give you a headache. And Retta, you don't have to tell me people are that stupid. I guess I just want to live in my own fantasy land where people aren't that stupid. And see, you just ruined my dream for me. So, but anyway, let me get to some of the articles I got up in my show's description for today. If I may, let me do this too. Let's see. Kind of messed up here a little bit, but I'm going to get it all together. I'm going to get it together. Just bear with me, people. Please bear with me. Oh, yeah. You all know, I'm pretty sure you all know that we have a new Supreme Court justice now. What happened to my jump? You all know we have a new Supreme Court justice now. And she goes by the name of, I keep forgetting her name, Kajani Brown Jackson, and I don't know why I can't get things together today. Kajani Brown Jackson, and now just like I had predicted. Just like I predicted, I knew she was going to win the spot in the Supreme Court. I knew that, you know. And you know, when you're nominated as a Supreme Court justice, you go through a process of interrogation, and that's just the normal course of things. You go through interrogation. They ask you questions, see if you qualify, boom, boom, boom. And then if, you know, you're satisfied, they're satisfied, you know, they put it to a vote. And if, you know, you get enough votes, you can win the Supreme Court justice spot. But for some reason, people seem to think that if you are a black female liberal or whatever, you shouldn't go through that process. You shouldn't be going through that process. You know, people saying that folks had really shown their hate against Kajani Brown Jackson. The questions they asked her. Do you know what a woman is? And she says, well, no, I don't. I'm not a biologist. And folks, let me tell you all something. That's got to be one of the stupidest answers I think I've ever heard in my life. Now, you're sitting here. Now, Joe Biden picked this woman because she was a black woman. Now, she can't tell you what she is herself because she's not a biologist. Now, we all can tell you that she's a woman. She's a woman, okay? Or maybe she is, maybe she ain't. I don't know, because, you know, these days you can look like a woman, but you really ain't. But let's just say, I think she's a woman, okay? You know, we know what a woman is. A woman is a female, a human female who has reached adulthood. That's what a woman is. Simple. Simple, you know? And she said, well, I don't know, because I'm not a biologist. And see, this is the thing, too. They think you, in order for you to know all the aspects of science, you got to be some kind of scientist or something like that. You don't need to be a scientist to know what's going on in the world around you. Because I can tell you, you know, I know that plants, you know, they get their food through a process called photosynthesis. You know, the sunlight activates this process of photosynthesis. And, you know, of course, they have to have the water, the air and everything and stuff like that. And it produces the process of photosynthesis where the plant makes its own food. And it's generated by sunlight. It produces a type of sugar. And this is how the plant, you know, now I'm not a scientist. I'm not a botanist or anything like that, but I know that. Okay, that's something I learned in school. But she's like, you know, I don't know. I'm not a biologist. Now, to me, I would have been like, this woman doesn't even know what a woman is. And we're going to put her in the Supreme Court? No, no. Nah. You can't even tell me what a woman is. Now, given, I do believe she knows what a woman is. We all know what a woman is. I mean, it's like, come on now. But she's sitting there like, I don't know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. I said, oh, my goodness. But, you know, she got in, and everyone's celebrating because this black woman has finally made it to, she's the first black woman to be placed in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Oh, happy day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Could have happened about 20 years ago with another lady named Janice Brown Rogers. Janice Rogers Brown, excuse me. And guess who had a say in that one? Your good old friend, Joseph Budinski. It seems like every time, you know, I mean, Joe Biden, he questioned Clarence Thomas back in 91. He blocked the nomination of Janice Brown. But he nominated this, you know, Ketanji Jackson, excuse me, because she was a black woman. Nah, it wasn't because she was a black woman. It was because she was a black liberal woman. That's why he nominated her to that spot. And see, here's the thing. This is the thing that I believe. I believe that, you know, Joe Biden probably said, no, we can't have the Republicans or the conservatives saying that they were responsible for the first black woman on the bench. And so, you know, they blocked this black woman who probably was qualified. But it comes up with this one, and she makes it to the Supreme Court. And this is their way of saying, hey, see, you conservatives, y'all don't nominate black people to the Supreme Court, but we did. And see, Joe Biden, he's probably feeling himself right now because not only did he pick the first black woman Supreme Court justice, but he also picked the first black woman vice president, which Kamala Harris really is not black. But, you know, in this world today, you know, anyone who's got a little drop in, you know, that little one drop rule, they consider them to be black. You know, that's why we all think Barack Obama is black, and he is not. But everyone celebrate. Look, I don't give a rip pair of jeans about this woman's blackness or her gender. I don't care. All I care about is she going to hold up the Constitution of the United States of America? And is she qualified really to be in that seat that she's been given? That's all I'm concerned about. I don't care if you're black, white, candy stripe, whatever. But everyone's, singing the praises. But nobody did these celebrations with Clarence Thomas. And the only crime that Clarence Thomas committed was being black and conservative. See, we can't have black conservatives on the bench. See, that's why Joe Biden did what he did with Janice Brown. Because he was like, oh, we let one of them coons get into the Supreme Court. We can't let another one in. So I'm going to speak out against this one. Can't let this one in. No. And the thing that gets me is, you know, all these pro-black people and everything, they don't say anything. They don't say anything. Here's a classic example of a racist white man. Yes, I do believe that Joe Biden is a racist. He can get up there and talk about he supports black people all he wants to, but we have the receipts that Joe Biden is a classical racist. He supported Robert Byrd, dude from West Virginia, who was I think it was a Grand Kleagle or Grand Wizard. I don't know the hierarchy in the Ku Klux Klan. I never really studied them. All I know is that they're a bunch of hateful white folks. He said he didn't want the public schools to become some racial jungle. And whatever, meaning he didn't want to see a mix of, you know, races in the public schools. But of course, Joe Biden had to suppress his racism in order to support his politics. Oh yeah, let the black people in. Let them think that we really love them. When they see one of their own and we help one of their own get into a position, then all the votes will come to us. That's all Joe Biden's doing. That's all that he's done. Him and his compatriots. That's all they do. You know, oh, we love you black people. And then they'll tell you a lie that, you know, the Republicans don't like black people, and that sometime during the 60s, the Republicans and the Democrats switched sides, because at one time it was the Democrats who supported Jim Crow. They supported segregation. They supported slavery. But then they saw the advantage they could gain by, you know, pretending to be the black man's friend. And they said, okay, if you can't beat them, let's join them. And your typical black person in America today thinks the Democrats are their friend, and they're not. All they care about is your votes. That's all they care about. Because once they get into office, the promises that they make towards you, they never keep those promises. And I don't know why people don't see this. I don't know why people don't understand this. I just don't understand it. I mean, someone help me to understand. I mean, for close to around 60 years now, we have voted Democrat. We have voted Democrat as a whole. The black race has voted Democrat as a whole. And things haven't improved. Matter of fact, things have gotten worse. And we want to blame, you know, the plight of black people today because of, you know, we're still traumatized by slavery. Well, during slavery and the Jim Crow era, families were more stable. We were the ones getting the jobs. And then here comes Lyndon Baines Johnson, who voted against civil rights legislature in the 50s. Here he comes. He's like, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. If we pretend we love the black people, then we'll have them N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. These uppity Negroes, as he called them, we got to give them something. And this is the way we gain their favor. And we black people, we still go, whenever we go to the polls, we always vote for these rascals that really don't care about us. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about Planned Parenthood. And you all probably know about Planned Parenthood. It was started by a racist white woman named Margaret Sanger. She didn't like black people. She didn't like inferior races. And she went about convincing people that we need some type of ethnic cleansing, some type of racial cleansing in the world, you know. They call it eugenics. And so she comes up with this idea of contraception and whatever, and she comes up with this thing called the Negro Project. Now, if you don't know what the Negro Project is, I would advise you to go to Google and type it in and read it. Now, we get so bent out of shape when we hear about the Tuskegee experiment. And yes, we should get bent out of shape about that. We get bent out of shape when we hear about the forced sterilizations of black people in this country, which, believe it or not, Planned Parenthood played a big part in that. Some people were sterilized against their will, didn't even know it, and they couldn't have children. But I was telling this friend of mine yesterday, I said, now, if you can read the Negro Project and you still think that your typical Democrat who supports Planned Parenthood deserves your vote, something is wrong with you. Now, I'm not a person who tries to get you to vote a certain way or anything. I'm not that type of person. But something has got to be wrong with you if you can read the Negro Project, instituted by Margaret Sanger, when she went to black churches to get their ministers, to convince their ministers that this was doing the black population a service. When underneath the surface, she really wanted to eliminate the black population. Now, the surprising and the ironic thing about Margaret Sanger, though, get this. Margaret Sanger didn't believe in abortion. I'll say that again. Margaret Sanger did not believe in abortion. She believed abortion should only be used as a last resort, but she wasn't pushing for abortion. But I will say this, though. If she were alive today, she'd be very pleased with the work of Planned Parenthood, because the people who the class of people who are more likely to abort their children are black folks. In New York City right now, I think it's still viable right now, the statistic. There are more black children being murdered, massacred through abortion than are being born. But a lot of us still go and vote for these people who support that ungodly institution called Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger said that blacks, among other people, are weeds, are human weeds, and need to be wiped off the face of the earth. Now, I didn't say that verbatim, but that's basically what she was saying. She believed in the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white person as superior to everyone else. She supported the Nazi extermination of the Jews. She supported the works of the Ku Klux Klan, who terrorized black people, burning crosses in their backyards and things like that. But in 2016, whole bunch of us black folks, we wanted to go to the polls and vote for a woman named Hillary Rodham Clinton. who said that Margaret Sanger was a hero of hers. Now, if you were ever versed in Margaret Sanger and her legacy and what she was about and everything, and you heard Hillary Clinton say that, you should have been like, you know what? She's not getting my vote. How in the world are you going to be a, one of the people who supported the extinction of black people? How in the world are you going to vote for this person? And she says, this person was one of her heroes. And then in another breath, she says, her inspiration comes from the Bible. That's funny. And I got a book on from Amazon called The Negro Project. Just arrived today, and I'm going to get into it, read it, and whatever. I don't know how a black person can read The Negro Project and understand what it was about and still vote for somebody who supports Planned Parenthood. Even though Margaret Sanger wasn't an advocate for abortion, she did start the organization that would be known for most of the abortions that occur in the world today. And like I said, if she were alive, she'd probably been like, maybe this abortion thing is the right way to go. But she was pushing the contraception, you know, which is why, you know, when I hear people talk about contraception, you know, they say, if you're going to have sex, you know, wear a condom. I kind of cringe a little bit when I hear that. Really, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sex between a male and a female is only reserved for marriage. It's only reserved for marriage. And it should be reserved for marriage. But you got so many people there, you know, they caught up in their feelings and everything and stuff like that. You know, they want to cop a feel and whatever. And, you know, but we shouldn't be teaching children about contraception. We should be teaching them abstinence.
Well, abstinence doesn't work. Abstinence is the reason why teenagers are caught up in sex today.
Really? That's another stupid thing someone told me one time. Said abstinence is the reason why we have that we have so many out of wedlock births today is because of abstinence. How? Because once you apply abstinence, there's a 100% chance the woman's not going to get pregnant. 100%. 100%. Ain't no way. She's not going to just. She's not going to just walk down one day and a breeze hits her and like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. I said that was another stupid, you know, statement by somebody. Oh, this is the reason why the teenagers are going wild in sex and everything. And no. Because the very people who say that, they're not even trying to stop the teenagers. They just want to make an excuse for them and say, okay, well, if you're going to have sex, you know, I tell them you shouldn't be having sex in the first place. Not until you get married. Stats show that people who have children, when they're married, the children grow up to be more successful than those who are born out of wedlock. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions. But for the most part, children who are born to a mother and a father who are married, they do better in school. They grow up and they become more successful than those who don't. But of course, you got entities like Planned Parenthood. They don't like to hear that. You know why? Because it cuts off their business. They love illegitimate births. You know why? They love illegitimate or irresponsible sex between people who aren't ready, who shouldn't be having sex. I can't get my words out today for some reason. But they love it. They love it when two people just come together and they, okay. You know why? Because there's going to be a chance. See, they know that a lot of times when people get together and they, you know, do the horizontal mambo or whatever, chances are that person's going to get pregnant, and chances are that person's going to be like, oh, my goodness, I got a baby in me. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And Planned Parenthood steps in and says, hey, I got an option for you. Come over to my clinic. I'll take care of that business for you. And your mom and your dad won't have to know about it. Yep, that's the world we live in today. And black people buy it hook, line, and sinker. And I don't know why black people support abortion. I don't know why they support Planned Parenthood. I don't understand it. It boggles the mind. Here you are, an organization that was basically built for your extinction. Now you're over there supporting them and aiding in your extinction. You want to call me a sellout? You want to call me an Uncle Tom? During the 70s, our own Jesse Jackson, he used to preach against the evils of abortion. But lo and behold, he wanted to become president, so he wanted to become a Democrat. And the Democrat said, well, if you want to support our platform, you're going to have to drop that abortion talk. Jesse was like, oh, okay, all right. So somebody please tell me who's the sellout. Anyway, let me go on to these other articles because I got a couple more here. And I get this one from Breitbart, Breitbart.com. Sharpton, of course you all know Al Sharpton. I call him Al Sharptung. But Al Sharpton, GOP didn't have enough humanity to say KJB vote is historic. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Everyone fell gaga over this one. Oh, she's a black woman. She's liberal. Oh, yeah. And he's all upset because, you know, the GOP didn't say this was historic. So you got what you wanted, didn't you? So why are you upset that the GOP didn't say, oh, this was a historic moment? Yeah, it's historic, but it's historically sad. MSNBC host Al Sharpton said Friday on MSNBC's Deadline that Republican senators did not have the humanity to say Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's Senate confirmation vote was historic. Sharpton said, as great as it is today for black women, for women, for black people, we all couldn't celebrate that together. See, all caught up in the black stuff. They didn't even have enough humanity to say this is historic. I think that is very telling. And she comes on the bench in a divided time, giving hope to people that's going to have to fight those divisions. Who's causing the division, though? Who's causing the division, Sharpton? Who's causing it? He continued, we should not give people a false sense of what she's going to have to deal with and what we all are going to have to deal with. We're in the middle of a midterm election starting, and we're going to hear some ugly things. Yeah, we're going to hear it from your side, too, especially your side. If they could be that ugly against her, we need to be clear with the odds that we are dealing with here. How are they going to be ugly with her? Oh, they're going to ask her a question? They're going to ask her a simple question? Oh, you should be doing that. She's a black woman. Y'all just doing that because y'all hate her. Y'all don't understand that she's a strong black woman. She's a queen. These people need to be defeated. Talking about yourself now. These people do not need to be in any way coddled or say they'll get better. They've shown over and over again. I mean, Ketanji Brown Jackson is as good as you're going to get in any race. And they couldn't come together on that. Even some of them that have voted for her in the past. So the interrogation of Ketanji Brown Jackson was because, you know, these white Republicans didn't like her, and so they had to grill her. But that's the same thing that the white liberals did with Clarence Thomas. But we didn't hear you say, we didn't hear an outcry from you then. We didn't hear an outcry from you then. Joe Biden, white guy, tore into Clarence Thomas, and you probably sat there like, yeah, I agree. Yeah. And what makes Ketanji Brown Jackson as good as what you're going to get in any race? What makes her so good? Someone explain that to me. Let's see. Let me go to this other article. Hannah Jones. Now, you all know Hannah Jones. She's the one that penned the 1619 Project. Hannah Jones, parents are wrong. America was founded as a racist country. Now, she's still singing that old song, doing that old tune and dance, gnawing on that old bone. Parents are wrong. Parents. How do we? I wonder if she's a parent. Can someone tell me if Hannah Jones is a parent? I don't think she is, but I could be wrong. Nicole Hannah Jones, 1619 Project creator and professor, said Wednesday on the CNN Plus show, Who's Talking, that parents were wrong when they complained about her work claiming America was founded as a racist country. Wallace said, what's your response when people say you're saying the country's racist and that this is a central part, and this is a central part and making us feel, making them kids feel bad about it? Are you saying parents are wrong? Hannah Jones said, yes. I think that I don't know how one can argue we are not founded as a racist country. I believe that we were. See, here they go again. This, I believe that we were, or I think we were, or in my opinion, I believe that we were. I believe that the record is clear. Clear where? If you're founded as a country where black people, because they are black, don't have rights, don't have freedom, if you have a Supreme Court that's dominated by enslavers, 10 of the first 12 presidents dominated by enslavers, our founding fathers dominated by enslavers, if you have these things, the father of the Constitution wasn't enslaver. What in the world is she saying? The drafters of the Declaration was an enslaver of the Bill of Rights. So to argue that people who were explicitly white supremacists in their writings, I mean the notes on the state of Virginia says black people are inferior as a race, that is a racist foundation. This is just a factual rendering to me. Now, does that mean that most white Americans are racist? The project doesn't argue that. Yeah, but your contemporaries do. Now, folks, the first slave brought to this country was in 1619. The United States wasn't founded until 1776. And I hear this a lot from people saying that, you know, the United States was founded as a nation of white supremacy. But they really don't have the proof. They don't have the facts to argue that point. The United States was not founded in 1619. And I keep hearing these people saying, we were in slavery for 400 years in the United States. Some people, they cut it down to 300 years. Slavery was only in this country for about 240-something years. And I don't know where they get this 400 years garbage from. But the United States was not founded as a slavery country. Matter of fact, I'll say this, you know, and I say this in reference to Juneteenth, when people say, oh, Juneteenth, that's when we really got our freedom, you know, talking about black people. Well, we wouldn't have had a Juneteenth if there first hadn't been a July the 4th. Think about that. Yes, slavery was well established in the United States by the time the United States was formed. But it was because of the forming of the United States, the process of slavery, the institution of slavery began erode slowly. It didn't erode overnight. But that process to end slavery began on the day the United States was founded. And no, Hannah Jones, parents aren't wrong. Parents have a right to determine what their children should be learning in school. And they don't need to be learning that, you know, these bunch of evil white people came and kidnapped a bunch of innocent black people and brought them over here to this country to serve them. Little white kids don't need to be taught that, hey, because you're white, you're evil. Because that's all that is doing. That's all that's doing. And you want to talk about division, you know, Al Sharpton, you want to talk about division. The division is on your part, not on the part of the conservatives. And people, I'm not going to suggest that you do that, but I got the 1619 Project. And I'm going to read that book and whatever. I got that. You know, some people might be like, oh, you're giving her your money. No, I like to study both sides. Get an angle on what both sides are saying. That's how you form an opinion. You have to hear both sides of the story. You know, you got to listen to both sides of the story. You just hear one side of the story without hearing the other side. You might turn up misinformed. And that's why I like to listen to both sides of the story. You know, that's how you form an opinion. The Bible even says that the person who brings the story to you first, that's the person that seems to be true. But you need to listen to both sides. That's why when I hear about a cop killing a kid, a white cop killing a black kid, I don't jump to conclusions and say, oh, see, that's systemic racism. Nah. Let's hear the other side. Anyway, I did not know it was this close to 6 o'clock, and hopefully after my announcements and everything, hopefully, I'm laughing because my sister up in New York, she got a very sharp sense of humor. She said, you're still a coon and an Uncle Tom. No, Retta, the proper term is Uncle Ruckus. Okay. But hopefully I'll get my act together after these announcements and everything. But until then, you are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that I in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call I in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call I in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is I in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at iinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. We're at the top of the second hour, whatever, and I was reading some articles earlier from Breitbart, and, you know, about, you know, people like Hannah Jones, who wrote the 1619 Project, and Al Sharpton saying the Republicans don't have the humanity to say that the election of Ketanji Brown Jackson was a historic event and all that crazy mess, you know. And here's another story I wanted to read, too, before I go to the phones. I don't know if you all remember that incident at Oberlin College. What was it, about 5 years ago, 2017, Oberlin College up in Ohio. Well, there was this business, you know, they have been getting, you know, people been stealing from them and whatever. They've been losing thousands of dollars every year. And this student comes in, and he has a bottle of wine, and he tries to purchase this bottle of wine. I believe he was underage, but he tries to purchase this bottle of wine with a fake ID card. The owners of this restaurant, this particular restaurant, they caught wind of it, and they wouldn't sell him the bottle of wine. But then they noticed he had two more bottles of wine in his jacket that he apparently wasn't going to plan to pay for. And so the owner's son was going to take a picture of the two bottles of wine under this boy's jacket. But the would-be shoplifter slapped the phone out of his hand and slapped him too, and he ran, and so the son ran after this boy and he caught him. They said they caught him in a hug and tackled him to the ground. And so the would-be robber's compatriots come to help him out, and they were kicking the owner, you know, gave him a bloody lip and everything and stuff like that. And when they called the police, you know, the police came in, straightened everything out, and you could see the owner on TV saying, you know what, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible, because he knew what was coming. And the very next day, you had students outside protesting that because the person who was shoplifting the wine, he was a black boy, he was black. And someone came up with this idea that, you know, they were racially profiling him. And they were saying that he was racially profiled and that, you know, these people, they don't like black people. You know, you know how the whole song and dance goes. And so they get out there protesting and whatever. And it got so bad that Oberlin College canceled their subscription to this business. It was a bakery. And as a result, this business lost thousands of dollars. And, you know, people were saying, no, that boy didn't do anything. They just, he was running out of the store, and this guy, he came out, and he tackled him for no reason whatsoever, and you didn't even know what he was doing. All you saw was a boy running out, and then a white guy tackled him. Of course, when a white guy tackles a black person, the white guy is a racist, and he's trying to harass the black person. And so they get up there, oh, this is so terrible. Oh, this is so terrible. And so they get up there, they protest and whatever. And it caused a rift between this bakery and Oberlin College. And it got national news, got national attention and everything. And people are like, yeah, this is a classic example of white supremacy and white racism, you know. Well, turns out things were a little bit more different. And I get this article from Law and Crime. It says, appeals court upholds $33 million verdict against Oberlin College for false racism accusations. Yes, people, our old friend, the hate crime hoax has surfaced its head again. An intermediate Ohio appellate court recently ruled 3-0 that a progressive college must pay $33 million in damages for defaming a local bakery. The case stemmed from a boycott that the appeals court said went legally wrong. On November the 9th, 2016, oh, okay, my date was wrong. My date was wrong. It wasn't 2017, it was 2016. On November 9th, 2016, the day after Donald Trump was elected as president, three black students at Oberlin College were arrested for attempting to steal bottles of wine from Gibson's Bakery, an establishment close to campus. Oberlin Student Senate immediately declared the incident a case of racial profiling, and without investigating any further, it passed a resolution calling for a boycott of the bakery. And see, this is what they do. This is what they do. They don't investigate. They just see with their eyes, and they say, okay, and they come to a conclusion with what they see with their eyes without realizing something happened for that boy to be running out that bakery like he was. The college's administration got on board, too, and sent an email to students heavily implying that Gibson's had discriminated against the students on the basis of race. Then Dean of Students, Meredith Raimondo, I think that's a black woman, and others handed out flyers that supported the boycott and accused Gibson's of having a history of racial profiling. Oh, wow. Okay, so now they got a history of racial profiling. What's more, Oberlin took steps to support a protest of Gibson's. Evidence adduced at trial showed that the school provided a break room in a nearby building for protesting students in which they could partake in coffee and pizza. Dean Raimondo also agreed to reimburse a student $75 to $100 for money spent on gloves given to protesters to combat cold weather. Y'all got to be kidding me. As a result of the outcry, Gibson's lost significant business. Not only did the bakery lose individual patrons, but it was also dropped from a major contract for baked goods that it had with Oberlin's food services provider. Gibson's Bakery, however, had not racially profiled the shoplifters, according to the court record. The bakery was exonerated when the arrestees admitted in open court that they had indeed attempted to shoplift and even engaged in physical altercations with Gibson's staff. I think the damage has already been done, though. I don't think the people who said, you know what, I don't want to go to Gibson's anymore, I don't think they returned. Damage has already been done. The bakery sued Oberlin for defamation, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and intentional interference with business relationship. After a six-week trial, the jury returned a verdict of $11.2 million. Then, to make matters worse for Oberlin, the jury made a secondary finding that increased the verdict threefold to $33.6 million. Oberlin appealed the massive verdict and made a number of arguments using the appeals court to overturn the verdict. The three-member panel of the Ohio Court of Appeals was utterly unconvinced. Judge Donna J. Carr wrote for the panel. Judge Donna J. Carr wrote for the panel. In the ruling, Carr pointed out that the case did not present a general First Amendment issue about the right to protest. The court must emphasize, however, that the sole focus of this appeal is on the separate conduct of Oberlin and Raimondo that allegedly caused damage to the Gibsons, not on the First Amendment rights of individuals to voice opinions or protest, Carr wrote. In the court's 50-page opinion, Judge Carr recounted the trial court's findings with respect to defamation. She explained the content of the email and flyers circulated on campus. Given the public's lack of knowledge of what had happened at the bakery and the ongoing tension on campus about racial injustice, these statements would convey to a reasonable reader that the arrest and alleged assault at the bakery were racially motivated, that the Gibsons had a verifiable history of racially profiling shoplifters on that basis for years, and that those facts were a reason to boycott the bakery. Because the statements of fact included in the materials distributed were false, were distributed among students, and were the cause of Gibson's financial damages, the appeals court saw no reason to overturn the trial court's finding of liability. Go woke, go broke. Now, the original penalty was going to be $11.2 million, but they said, no, y'all really caused this man some damage. So we're going to triple that amount to $33.6 million. Now, don't come whining and crying to us because y'all were the ones that falsely accused this man of racial profiling. And see, the damage has already been done because, you know, I believe a lot of the people who said, hey, I'm not going there because they racially profile people, I guarantee you they're probably still like, yeah, they racially profile people, even though it's been proven that they didn't. The three boys who were arrested, the three assailants that were arrested, they even admitted that they came in there to shoplift some wine. But that's not going to convince a lot of people. That's not going to convince a lot of people. But you all see why, you know, it's not good to jump to conclusions, because both sides can get hurt. One side can get hurt by defamatory comments, and the other side can get hurt when those defamatory comments rise up and bite them in the rear end. That's why you need to look into a matter and give out righteous judgment instead of just jumping to conclusions because of the racial atmosphere of this country. But I was outraged when I first heard this story. I said, you got to be kidding me. So, and people, like I said this on this show before, I don't think the apostles of blackness are going to be happy until not one black person ever gets convicted of a crime ever again. I don't think they're going to be happy until that happens. Oh, you're involved in a drive-by shooting? Oh, we'll just let it go. Yay. Oh, you killed some little kids? Oh, we'll let that go by. Yay. I really do believe that. I really do believe that the apostles of blackness don't ever want to hear about another black person being convicted of a crime ever again, whether they are guilty or not. I don't think anything will make them happier. Now, of course, the elites, they're gonna prepare themselves. They'll probably wall their properties, their residences, and everything, and let the common folk have to deal with that mess. But they're not going to deal with it themselves. And see, when I hear stories like this, it does tick me off because, see, I'm not a person who just, you know, I'm black, get back, born on the wrong side of the railroad track. I never really liked this black, any black stuff, really. I never really did. Because I see all of us as human. Excuse me. We're all human, made in the image of God. Be we black, white, yellow, olive, brown, red, whatever. And when black people come up and they say, when the apostles of blackness say a black person cannot be racist because we don't have power, that is one of the stupidest statements I think I've ever heard in my life. If you hate white people, you are a racist. And a lot of you out there, you hate white people without any cause. You want to recite, you know, slavery and Jim Crow and all that. But no, you really don't. You hate white people for no reason whatsoever. And you think because of some past injustice, that gives you the right to hate white people. Often on this show, I tell you all about a church that I used to go to here in Durham, North Carolina. I no longer go there for reasons I will probably specify in another show. Retta knows what I'm talking about. Well, she's never been to the church, but, you know, the church was kind of similar to the one she used to go to. But my wife still works up there in the daycare. And she was talking to the security guard, who's black, from South Carolina. And she said she and the security guard have it out almost every day. And she said, my wife was talking to him and said, you know, the stuff that we accuse white people of, they're not doing it today. And he wants to go all the way back into the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and pull up something that happened back then and try to apply it for today. See, that's a problem with a lot of black folks today. They like to get into their time-traveling DeLoreans and go back into the past and bring that mess up to till today. And she said every day. And see, the pastor of this particular church, let me stress this to you all. Pastor of this particular church is a conservative. He didn't vote for Barack Obama. He didn't vote for Bill Clinton. He is a conservative. He doesn't believe in the, you know, the blackity black and the, you know. And I'm like, okay, so he's around. Now, I have had run-ins with some of the people up there. And I was surprised with who they say they supported. They say they supported the Democrats. And I'm like, so you all have a conservative pastor. And he tells you, he even said that if you voted for Barack Obama, you were not being led by the Spirit. But I can guarantee you, probably 90% of the people at that church voted for Barack Obama, and probably the same amount voted for Joe Biden. This pastor has even talked about what I talked about earlier in the show about the Negro Project. And these people, they'll sit there, they'll say, oh, yeah, the Negro Project, that was bad, you know, yada, yada. And they'll say they're against abortion, but they still vote for people like Obama and Biden. Something is wrong there. And this is a practically 100% black church. The pastor is conservative. He doesn't vote for liberal Democrats. But the people in his congregation, I'm like, do you all even listen to him? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, a lot of things, one of the main reasons why I left this church was because I saw some things that this pastor was doing. I understood that some things that he was doing was unbiblical. But when it came to what he was saying about, you know, politics and whatever, most of the time I agreed with him. And I'm sitting there like, how you all go to this church? Y'all been going here for several decades, and he's been saying this from the pulpit, and y'all still go and vote Democrat. He tells you about the Negro Project. He tells you about the Ku Klux Klan being formed by the Democrat Party. He tells you all of this, and you still want to believe that it's the conservatives and the white man that's holding us back. And he will sit there and tell you, the white man didn't hold me back, but y'all still want to go by the quote of the apostles of blackness. Your skin color means more to you than the truth of God's word. See, that's why I believe a lot of so-called black Christians, they're going to find themselves in an eternally warm climate because they cared more about their skin color, about their politics, about their civil rights, than they do the truth of God's word. And you got people who aren't even Christian, who speak with more common sense than a lot of these so-called Christians do themselves. Folks, that's a sad state of affairs. Because the Bible says that those of us who follow the ways of Jesus, we're supposed to be the children of light. We're supposed to be bringing light to a dark place. But what a lot of us have done, we've extinguished that light and we want to join the dark place. Come on over to the dark side. Got a bunch of Luke Skywalkers being coaxed by the Darth Vaders. Well, Luke didn't go to the dark side, but there were people who did go to the dark side. And these people would rather follow their feelings rather than the truth. And these, like I said, these are people that I've gone out with, protested at abortion clinics with, and these people turn right around and vote for the very people who support what they are supposedly protesting against. That's what I don't understand. I can't understand the life of it. My wife said every day, she and the security guard, they get at it. See, my wife, she educates herself on YouTube. Sometimes I get to the point where I tell her, you know, look, I don't want to see anything political today. She's always on YouTube, Newsmax, Fox News, Mark Dice, Steven Crowder. The Jewish guy who talks real fast. Now, I'm not saying these people are Christians, because I guarantee you most of them are not, but they speak with more common sense than so-called Christians do. And that's a shame, because the Christians are supposed to be the light bringers. We're supposed to be the ones to be bearers of the truth. But for some reason, we don't. Especially the black ones. We, like I said, we care more about our skin color and our civil rights than we do the truth of God's word. We get up on Sunday, oh, hallelujah, oh, yeah, let's thank Jesus. But then you support the likes of Black Lives Matter and this group in Durham called the Durham Committee for the Affairs of Black People. You have made your skin color an idol. And I don't mean to sound dour or, you know, or blunt or anything like that. I don't mean to sound that way. But it ticks me off when people get off into this white, black rhetoric. It ticks me off. Because when I was growing up, a lot of what you see, a lot of the disquiet that you see in the country today, we didn't have that. In the 70s and the 80s, we didn't have that. Now, all of a sudden, it's back to, now we're back into the 50s and the 60s now. The white man is holding us back. He doesn't want us to do anything. He doesn't want us to have anything. Shoot, we elected a so-called black person to the presidency twice. But, you know, it's because of slavery why we can't get back. We can't get ahead today because of slavery. And see, when they tell you those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it, that's exactly what they're doing right now. Because if you would look back in history, you would see that when we were in Jim Crow, oh, man, we were prosperous. The black folks, they were prosperous, had our own theaters, our own nightclubs, our own grocery stores, our own banks. I'm living in a city right now, Durham, North Carolina, that was pretty much central to all that. Sometimes you go downtown Durham, they'll say, hey, this used to be Black Wall Street. Black businesses everywhere. During Jim Crow. I don't think it was 10 years after slavery had ended when the first black men were elected to Congress. And they were Republican. They were Republican. But now, today, we want to make the excuse that it was that the reason why we can't get ahead today, the reason why we have so much crime in our neighborhoods, the reason why women are unwed mothers, because of slavery and Jim Crow, and we're going through a traumatic period. We're trying to get over all that. And so it must have skipped a period then, because back when we were going through all that, we had the jobs. Our marriages were strong. We had our own businesses. So what happened? What happened between the 1960s and today? You know what I think happened? I think the fruit bats bit a lot of people. That's the wrong siren, but hey, you get the point anyway. That's my fruit bat alarm. And that means when I go to the phones, if you want to indulge in character assassinations, straw man arguments, and ad hominem attacks and excessive profanity and things of that sort, best hang up now, because if you don't, I'll be happy to oblige you. But anyway, let me get this call. I think I know who this is. This definitely ain't no fruit bat.
Hey, Vincent, you know, I'm just sitting back here smoking a cigar, you're doing good, man.
I appreciate that.
I got my feet kicked up. I'm all reared back. I said, listen to him.
and you know what? I'm sitting here feeling like this is one of my low days, because sometimes I get like that, but you know, I try to make it as straight a point as I can, so that people can absorb
what I'm saying, you know, and not just for the people who are listening right now, but for the people who'll be listening in the archives too. So,
well, you know, it's a lot of black racists coming out. They feel emboldened more so than with Obama, with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I guess it's because they two of a kind, black racists, white racists. NYC's top doctor made this statement. White women are birthing people. Minorities are mothers. This is a black woman.
Wow.
And not even brought to task for making this statement. White women are birthing people, like they're machines. Why minorities are mothers. Well, hell, if minorities are mothers, i.e. black, well, what happened to these mothers in some of these cities where killing is off the hook?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you the truth. And, you know, here's the thing about this. Is Sarge on the line?
Sarge is in the chat room, but he's not on the line.
This.
Uh-oh, you're cutting off.
Resign. Retire.
Repeat that again.
Then they're going to want.
Because I didn't
then
hear
they're going to have an even number. Then they're going to want to appoint another one.
Yeah.
Some damn Republicans. I mean, well, you got some damn Republicans. Two of them went over with the count.
Yep.
With the Democrats.
Mitt Romney and his little turn so self. You know, Mitt Romney.
Oh,
you know,
wait a minute, too. Hang on. You know, when Donald Trump was talking about how they were spying on him and the news media refused to take it up no more than to castigate him a few times, well, now it's coming out that he was spied on.
Mm-hmm.
Not only on his place of business, spied on at his home and also the White House.
Yep.
And just like I said, you know, when Obama said there's no record of no court, basically saying there was no record of a court order to tap his phones, you didn't need no court order. No. You just go hire a private entity. They'll do it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yep. But they didn't want to look into it. You know, because they
no Russian collusion too.
Yep.
They didn't want to look into it. No Russian collusion. And what he asked the Ukraine officials to do, he had a right to do. You know why? Because they got a treaty with the United States.
Yep.
And if you observe some stuff going on with U.S. officials that's fallen in the category of corruption, bribery, misdemeanor, you're supposed to report it.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, no. And then, you know, when the officials say, well, ask the president. No, he said, Obama said. Then Joe Biden said, well, call the president. Well, that means that he was in on it, too.
Yep.
And if that information had been available, there wouldn't have been no, they would have stopped them down impeachments in their track. At least you would hope so.
Yeah.
Russian collusion.
What do you think about that article I read about that church in Chicago that's fasting from whiteness? It's not funny. I'm just laughing because it's
like, I
like
it's the church where they had the whites kissing the black shoe, black people's shoes, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. These people are crazy as hell.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, newsflash, folks, white people are everywhere. So, you know, if you're going to have to fast from them, you're going to have to find you an uncharted island or something somewhere. I still can't get over that. I'm like, you got.
And Brown may be qualified. I don't really, well, you know, that's not for me to say. But she sure in the hell ain't worthy.
No. No.
Yeah, she had 11 to 12 of her rulings overturned by a higher court. Only been on the bench 7 months. That's a long time for lefty progressives. Marxists, that's a long time.
Man, and you know what? I didn't hang my head down when, you know, she you know, won her place on the Supreme Court. I didn't hang my head down or anything like that. I because I expected it. I knew she was going to get it, you know. But the thing that gets me is how many people are singing her praises because she's on the Supreme Court. You know, this black woman made it to the Supreme Court.
She got put there because of her blackness, not her qualifications.
Exactly.
That's why.
Exactly. Same thing with Kamala Harris. Same thing. Joe might know what he's doing. He might be senile, but he ain't completely stupid.
You know? I mean, you know, I'm sick and tired of these damn school districts. Here you got the Fairfax School announcing the reinstatement of two pornographic books despite parental pushback. I don't understand these. Don't they know that those are not your kids? Those kids belong to the parents.
Exactly.
And some of this stuff is downright just ridiculous. Hey, when I was trying to order girly books in the damn mail, the Post Office General would confiscate them. And they was nowhere like this mess.
Oh, man. I seen some of them, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And they have drawings.
Then in New Jersey.
Drawings and everything.
In New Jersey, they passed a damn curriculum where it's supposed to tell the kids, although you have male-y parts or something like that, a girly part, you may feel different than what you really are, and it's all right. Yeah. Then they got explicit directions on how to use those parts in the activities that you feel go along with your feelings.
Yeah.
Can you believe that mess, man?
I mean,
I guess because
really?
You got two boys, and because the one boy don't have no vagina, I guess they can insert it someplace else. I guess in his ear, huh?
Oh, gosh. Mm. Perish the thought.
Kid, come on. Mommy, my ear been hurting for the last 2 days.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh.
Might have a developing fetus in his ear.
Oh, my goodness.
That's almost as worse as Maxine Waters telling the homeless to go home.
Yeah.
That's almost worse than Barr having evidence of what was going to hold everybody's laptop and sat on it.
Yeah.
And sat on it all through the election. Sat on it. The no good scoundrel.
And you know, if we had gotten caught with some of this material that they're trying to promote,
oh, we'd be in jail, man.
We'd be in jail.
You know damn well we'd
be
in jail on that.
Jail. If they did a raid in our house and we had one of those books on our bookshelves, we be in jail quicker than you can say transgenderism.
And I tell you something else, man. You know, you should read that, look at that one documentary called Deadliest Journeys, Panama, Business in the Jungle. Talk about these Africans coming all the way from Eritrea in northern Sudan. Coming through South America, cutting through the jungles, ending up in Panama, hiring boats, I guess you call them coyotes, to take them to the U.S. border. Mm. And they interviewed one of them, this black guy from Ethiopia. He said he escaped from jail. Ain't that something?
Mm. What's the name of
that? He escaped from jail.
What's the name of that documentary again?
Deadliest Journeys. Panama, Business in the Jungle.
Okay.
And you know, if you wasn't expecting to run for political office or some higher up, I would start sending you emails. But if they ever went through the emails I sent you, you might as well forget about them. Because they will immediately castigate an assumption of what's in your mind. Yeah, and it would be right.
Probably. You know, and you'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And see, that's why I try to, you know, I try to try to keep things clean and whatever, because, you know, I don't put anything past these folks. I don't put anything past them. You know, they can say, well, you said this and everything, and be like, oh, okay, I did say that, but that's not what I meant. Well, what did you mean? Well, that's not what I meant, you know. But, yeah, and sometimes, you know, especially if you're the conservative persuasion, you really have to do, you do really have to be careful about what you say and what kind of materials you get and whatever, because a lot of times they can use that against you.
Well, I tell you one thing, them damn Democrats, some of the racist people you ever want to see, not all, but then you got the black ones are treacherous. They are treacherous. Like trying to put a Hall's cough drop on the tongue of an alligator. They are treacherous.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they are. But I don't know what to tell you, man. You just got to keep fighting this stuff.
Yeah.
And apparently people are coming out, understanding, seeing what's been going on and how just bad they are, looking at the economy, inflation. Inflation ate up all the stimulus checks. Where they at?
I'm telling you.
Where is that increase in minimum wage that was being floated around and acted?
Yeah.
What happened to it? Where did it go?
Love to be a fly on the wall to see what happens.
And here come another wave of illegals hitting the damn Mexican southern border, overrunning the police. I don't know why they don't. I mean, that's dangerous. They need to be using some weapons, making some noise.
Yeah.
I would think. So it's just bad. Then you got the South Carolina. We talked about that last week, the South Carolina women's basketball team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you talking about how much that woman makes. And she wants to stay in the locker room during the national anthem.
Yep.
And you know, I'm going to tell you something else. You want to see another documentary. It's called Most Dangerous Ways to School, Nicaragua and Other Countries.
Oh, I've seen those. The treacherous, the ways some of these children have to go to
these
school.
These kids. And
have to cross rivers and ledges.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Did
gosh.
You see the three sisters out there on the river in a dugout canoe?
And
the
youngest one has got a day. They do it every day.
Man, the youngest one has got a little cutout of a container bailing water. And this river is moving fast.
Yeah.
And they got to go through the mangroves, man, where you got snakes hanging down looking like limbs.
Yeah,
poisonous spiders want to jump in the boat with them. But these little tiny kids just go right on about their business. Brave.
Every single day. Oh,
and you
my
got
goodness.
Kids here riding the bus 2 blocks to school.
Yeah.
They got lunch prepared. Breakfast, lunch, and snacks prepared for them.
Yeah. Yep.
You hear these kids say they love to get some meat.
Yeah. And you got
you
you
know
got
I'm gonna tell
here.
You something. I'm gonna tell you something. Everybody talking about Jesus coming back. If Jesus came back, he ain't coming to America. Going to places like this. Where them girls come from. That's where he's going. He's going to where there sure enough is some poverty and suffering. That's where he's going. He ain't coming to the United States with all this terrible racket, corruption, crime, fortitude, mothers having sex with their sons, mothers helping their 11-year-old sons carjack. He ain't coming here. I don't blame him. But anyway, I let somebody else talk.
Well, you know what I don't think. Well, second coming of Jesus, Jesus is not even going to put his foot on the earth. So you know he's going to call those away who are following him. You know, and but yeah, I understand what you mean, man. Because I watched that show, I watched that program, and they say these kids do this every day, crossing over these rickety bridges, and they showed some kids they were on a ledge or something like that, a narrow ledge, and they had to creep along the narrow ledge. And I was like, oh my goodness. And we over here, we complaining about the school lunches, which the school lunches ain't the healthiest, but my goodness. Them
kids walking in areas where mountain goats wouldn't tread.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my goodness. I'm like,
and have you seen the uptick in police officers being shot?
Yeah. Yeah. Past 2-3 years, maybe.
I think in 101, but I think it's been like almost 100 shot at in Chicago.
Wow.
And see, they got these police officers handcuffed, like that one female Latino approached this car with a suspect sitting in it. And when she walked up to the car, they opened up on her and killed her.
Yeah.
She should have had her gun out. I would have.
Yeah.
I would have been standing on the other side of my car with my riot gun with rifle slugs in it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
get out with your hands up.
That's racist. You can't do that because that's racist. You know, you can't approach a car with your gun out, your hand on your gun, because you know that's seen as racist.
The hell with that, how you doing, good afternoon, and all that crazy ass mess. We're going to show you how good the afternoon going to be. Show a gun.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, let me get out of here.
Okay.
Take it easy, Vincent.
I appreciate it, Bianchi. Yeah, wow. and folks, when I get on this program or whatever, I try to be as honest with you about myself as I can be, you know, because honesty is the name of the book. You know, I don't like to make myself out to be something that I'm not. And like I tell people, and this is why I started doing the articles in the show's description, because I don't want people to think that I'm just saying and talking and flapping off at the yap. And, you know, I want people to really investigate what I'm talking about. I want them to say, okay, I hear what you're saying, Vincent, but let me check this out. You know, that's why I try to be as honest and open with people as I am. And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a perfect person or anything like that. I'm not even going to go that route. But don't just believe something that I say because I said it. You know, you might say, oh, Vincent sounds like an honest person, but there are a lot of people out there, you know, today they sound honest, but they're not. And I would advise you, you know, just check out what I'm talking about. You know, don't take what I say at face value. And if what I say confirms something that you already know, then you know, then that's good. You know, but don't just take my word for it. You know, go out there, check it out. You know, because you know, it's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and we have to learn how to decipher the truth from the lie. And sometimes it can be a hard job. Don't get me wrong. It can be a hard job sometimes. Sometimes we do fall into, you know, something, you know, someone says and we just believe it, and then you find out you gotta eat some crow because you find out that what that person said wasn't true, you know. And that's why I tell people, don't just jump to conclusions. And see, that's what we see. That's why the world is so messed up today, because you got people out there and they're trying to dictate the narrative, and they get you to jump into conclusions when you see a certain thing. But the problem is, a lot of people, when they're proven wrong, they don't say, oh, okay, I was wrong. See, I'm going to do that. If I'm wrong about something, I want someone to point it out to me. Don't just let me continue in my wrongness, if that's a word. But I want someone to point it out to me, because I don't want to go around deceiving people. I don't want to go around telling people something is true and it is not. You know, that's not the purpose why I did this show, you know, why I do this show. I want this show to be about the truth. And I don't want people to be walking around misinformed, because I'm a person, I try to stay informed. I'm not the most eloquent or, you know, detailed person, because, you know, I look at people on YouTube. Like I said, I mentioned Steve Crowder, Ben Shapiro, people like that, and they can just rattle off. I mean, they just go off. I'm not that good. I'm not that good, even though I try to be a grammar Nazi and everything, stuff like that. But I'm not that, but I do believe that I have a purpose and that I do have something to say, you know. And that's why I don't get all caught up in how many people listen to my show and how many people tune in. And I don't get caught up in numbers. I don't get caught up in that. You know, if the numbers come, they'll come. If they don't, they don't. Well, you know, but anyway, I think that is about all I have to say. I know I'm a little bit early. Just wanted to put in a plug in for my other show, Profit or Loss. That's the show where I speak about the biblical errors that a lot of churches are pushing in this country today. I'm still in the farewell tour. I should be, I don't know, maybe this Sunday will be the last time. I'm not sure, but I'm going to be moving that show over to a podcast, and I'm not quitting that show or anything. I'm just going to switch it over to a podcast. And this show, I'm moving this show to a podcast too, but I'm not going to take it off of Blog Talk Radio. It's still going to be on this show right here, Black by Color Only. It's still going to be on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm gonna do a podcast of this show on, you know, a separate podcast of this show, you know. So, but it's going to be at True Sharks Radio. You know, you'll be able to see it if you go to Anchor or whatever. I'm gonna try to get several podcasting platforms to do the show on. Because I really do like the format of a podcast and everything, you know. And just want to continue this journey. And folks, let me tell you all something. I am accountable to you. Let's just say that. My listening audience, I'm accountable to you. Just because you're my listening audience does not mean that I know more than you do. I never want you to think that I think I know everything and you don't know anything. You know, there are people who listen to this show. They are a lot smarter than I am. And if you hear me say or do something that is off base or something like that, look, hey, let me know. Because I don't want to go around here, you know, doing something that's going to cause somebody to stumble. Okay. And if you hear me say something or do something or whatever, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, this is, you know, you're off base there. You know, like I told people before, I'm not so caught up in pride that you can't correct me. You know, I'm always open for correction. You know, that's the accountability I leave with folks. I'm accountable to you as well. And I might be the host of this program and whatever, but that does not mean that I know more than you or I'm smarter than you. You know, I just happen to be the person on the microphone right now. That's it. You know, but I'm accountable to my listening audience as well. Okay. And I would hope that other people who host programs, who host shows like this, I would hope they have the same mentality as well. Because, you know, in the Bible, it says that iron sharpens iron. Okay. And I take that to mean that I'm accountable to you as well as you are to me. You know, maybe I'm more accountable to you than you are to me. I don't know. I don't know how that goes. But anyway, once again, thank you, Pianchi, Retta up in New York, Sarge. Sarge, I'm going to have to put an APB out on you, because it's been a while since we've senior or whatever, but I hope everything is okay with you. But tomorrow I should be having my other show, Profit or Loss. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be the last Sunday that I'm going to do that show on Blog Talk Radio. But once again, that's going to a podcast, you know, and I'll try to hammer out the details to you and everything. It shouldn't be much to hammer out. But anyway, you all take care of yourselves out there. Stay safe. Enjoy your Saturday. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound.